I don't know how many different opinions would be here this morning, but I would say that we all have our own opinion as to how much dirt is too much. How much dust is in the house, how many cobwebs are left hanging. We may have some close resemblances, but we probably all have a different measure of how much dirt is too much. Or how often you dust, ladies. Or cars, men. How often you have to wash your vehicle to be satisfied. Or maybe how much dirt can accumulate before you decide, you know, that's just too much. I got to get it washed off. We haven't had rain for a month. It's not washing it off. I need to get it off. Some people say that dirt is unhealthy. Somebody else will say that you have to have a little bit of dirt, a little bit of bacteria in your life. Otherwise, you're not healthy. Oh, go ahead and let kids eat dirt. Because they need a certain amount. Somebody else, as soon as a kid picks something dirty up and puts it to their mouth, you know, slapping that little hand, no, that's dirty. Well, what is it that a person eats a ton of dirt and they might as well get started early? How much dirt is too much? When I had my first surgery on my knee, back before we had kids, we were living in a little one-bedroom apartment. You know, you could just about turn around and dust everything off. And I wasn't supposed to be doing anything for a while. That was back in the day that they, you know, I think I was supposed to be off my knee for a week or something. I was supposed to be off work for 4 weeks. And my wife was ready for me to go back to work very, very quickly, because the day it came for her to do the dusting, I kept reminding her, well, you forgot that spot over there and you didn't do that over there. She was ready to get rid of me pretty quick. Not that I would have been concerned about that spot or that spot any other time, but because I was sitting there on the sofa with my knee propped up, a little bit like the fan, some of you remember the ceiling fan. When it comes to spiritual things, we sometimes adopt our emotional state or our thoughts from the physical. A little bit of dirt's okay. But when it comes to spiritually speaking, we cannot adopt that. We find here in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 16, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Wash you, make you clean. If we read into that phrasing there, if we read into this verse, all that we find from God's word about sin, we would have to come to the conclusion that when it comes to spiritual dirt, God is picky. God has laid out a criteria that spiritually we are to be clean. You might be able to come to church on a Sunday morning with a dirty ring around your neck and nobody notice it and nobody be concerned. It might be that you could come to church on a Sunday morning with clothes that haven't been washed in a number of weeks. Well, we won't even go there. It may be something that you can do and get by with it. You're really not going to bother anybody else. Oh, there may be a little bit of trouble going on. Somebody may be a little bit, troubled by it. But there's really no serious consequence to any of that stuff. But when we come down to the spiritual aspects and our heart condition, we have to understand, we have to come to the conclusion that what he is telling here is here in the Old Testament. Yea, in the Old Testament, wash you, make you clean, get rid of the evil things of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. We have to understand that God is picky when it comes to spiritual dirt. If we go back just a few verses to verse number 10 and we're to pick up our reading there, we would understand a little bit different aspect about what he's saying, because he's speaking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah are no longer in existence, and yet he's bringing it up, so we have to come to the conclusion that he is using this as a likening to the old Sodom and Gomorrah, as though he is suggesting that who he is speaking to is another Sodom and another Gomorrah, or a new Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that suggestion, you'll find in these following verses after verse 10 that there is a whole lot of spiritual emphasis going on. There's a whole lot of religiosity taking place, but there is not the heartfelt righteousness that comes with having a heart that is made clean. You can read it. Take a look at it. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? And the suggestion is, what is the purposes of all of those sacrifices without obedience? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of the fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Without righteousness, we could add to that, because that's the emphasis. That is the subtle tendency here of what he is suggesting and saying, that all of this religious emphasis is of no avail if there's still dirt in the person's life. Isaiah is saying by the words of God that a person should wash themselves, that they should be clean, they should put away those evil things. Why is it that's so important? It's because God is a God of purity. God is a God of purity. Would it be that holiness is the strongest attribute of God's nature? And anything that opposes, or anything that goes against, or anything that defiles holy goes against God. Are you getting that? Are you hearing? Are you feeling? Are you understanding what I'm saying this morning? Are you understanding what Isaiah is saying here? That anything that goes against the holiness of God is unholy. And when it's unholy, it goes against the nature of God. And God, in his holiness, cannot stand, cannot accept any of that. While we may think that a little bit of dirt isn't necessarily harmful to a person, at least the right kind of dirt or something, when it comes to spiritual dirt, it is unhealthy for the spiritual life. Sin, considered to be spiritual dirt, cannot be accumulated, cannot be held, cannot be continued to be received in the spiritual life, to have life. Dirt, spiritual dirt, will shut us out of heaven. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter then who we are. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter where we've been. Sin is still sin. So what do you mean? Well, why are you saying that? Well, Jesus gives us a little parable, a little story in the New Testament about people that came to the closed door. You know, the marriage, the door was closed, and they began to knock and said, "Let us in." And the goodman or the master called out and said, "I don't know who you are." And he said, "Well, what do you mean you don't know who we are? We have done all of these great deeds in your name. We have prophesied. We've done all of these wonderful things in your name." And the response comes out, "I don't know you." See, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter where we've been. Sin is still sin, and it defiles. Now, God has provided a remedy for that. He has provided what is necessary to destroy the dirt or to remove the dirt. Nothing but the blood of Jesus comes to mind. It's a favorite verse of many. It's one that we've known since childhood. And because it's become so familiar to us from childhood, sometimes we lose the real value of it. But when we read and when we quote John 3:16, does it mean more than just something superficial? That God so loved the world that he gave his son over to be crucified, over to the hands of the Romans, freely gave him to the shame of the cross and the shedding of his blood so that we, you and I, today could have sins forgiven, have our heart washed, our heart cleansed from sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. John tells us in the first epistle of John chapter number 3 that is the reason why Jesus came. That's the reason why he was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. And that is sin. He didn't just come to destroy the works of the devil in the devil's life or in the devil's realm, but he came to destroy the works of the devil in humanity, in your life, in my life. He came so that we could be free from spiritual dirt. Wash you, make you clean. The devil has fouled a lot of people's lives, everybody's life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Crime and debauchery, lust and lying, abominations, self-seeking, pride, all of those things are stemming from the enemy and the dirt that he would bring into a person's life. He would foul up a person's life with. Struggling to live spiritual lives with dirt that is accumulating all around, we cannot do it on our own. It is, again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And he came to destroy the works of the devil. Not only in the life of the sinner, but also in the life of the unsanctified. The dirt of the soul. Those things that would lead a person astray, that the works of sin are gone, they've been forgiven, the acts of sin have been forgiven, but that nature or that root or that inward sin or contamination that is still present and still abiding, that needs to be purified by the Holy Spirit, purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, there we are again. It's nothing but the blood. Go back up and start with verse number 10 and read down through 15. We'll see all of these things that people are doing and all of these acts of righteousness and all these acts of religiosity or all these acts of religious worship. And God is saying, it matters nothing. It matters nothing if the heart still is dirty. While you and I have a different level of how dirty something really is, or how dirty something is, you know, to be acceptable, God's level of dirt and acceptable dirt is a lot different. He says, wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. If ye be willing and obedient. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Wash you. Wash you and make you clean. Nothing of the filthiness of sin allowed to remain. Let's stand together this morning. I think it stands for us to consider the words of Isaiah this morning personally, not just as a collective whole or as a message that has been given, but as a personal mirror to allow God's word to shine in our heart. I don't really like fear tactics, so I'm not going to press the fear tactics. But we are reminded in recent weeks that Jesus is coming back. I'm not saying that as a fear tactic. I'm simply saying that to remind us, is our heart clean? Have we been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Has his blood washed us whiter than snow? That's God's standard of cleanliness. It's God's standard of holiness. Spiritual cleanliness, spiritual holiness. That we be clean, purified. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart this morning, and you need to pray to have something cleansed or washed, your heart washed. Please, you're welcome to step out this morning and come to the altar for prayer. I know you can go home and do it as well, but chances are that the mood shifts and the feelings wane. You need to pray this morning. Is your heart right with God? Not somebody else's opinion, but is your heart right with God? Wash you, make you clean. Praise God. Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. Trust you have a good Lord's Day, blessed by His presence. We are blessed by His benefits. Praise God. Destiny, would you dismiss us in prayer?